Hey, it's Angela Yee from Way Up with Angela Yee. Imagine swapping your car keys for a chance to move your body, better mental health, connecting with your community, and creating memories without spending money. Join me and embrace nature's pace by taking a walk, hike, or a bike ride with Rails to Trails Conservancy, because our time on the trail is so much more than a day outside. Get ideas for getting outside at railstotrails.org/iHeart and on social media at Rails to Trails.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Way up. What's up? It's Way Up with Angela Yee. I'm Angela Yee. And finally, our mayor, Eric Adams, is here.
Yes. Good to see you. And, you know, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
First woman of color to, you know, black women to do something of this capacity. And I just don't think people know your full scope, what you do around health, my days in Brooklyn Bowl president. you know, you are just really more than a radio personality. And it's just really a pleasure throughout the years, the things that we've been able to do together.
You know, that is why, even when I first got the show, one of the first people I was like, I need to get Mayor Eric Adams up here. Just because I am from Brooklyn, you were our Brooklyn Borough President before you became the mayor. So even around health and with you being a vegan, just the seeing the things that you've done in the community, because even me reopening my juice bar, it was so important for me to have that juice bar in our community to provide those healthier options for people. And that's something that you've been an advocate of as well.
And you were ahead of your time. You know, I go back. I think it was during my first term as Brooklyn Borough President. A lot of people, you know, don't know the story. You know, the doctor told me I was going to lose my sight in a year. And I had vision loss, nerve damage in my hands and feet. They said I was going to lose some fingers and toes. High blood pressure, high cholesterol, the whole black package. And it was due to my diet change that I was able to regain my sight, nerve damage. I don't even have it anymore. Had an ulcer. That ulcer is gone.
See?
You know, dropped down. I dropped 35 pounds. You know, the health is just unbelievable. And, you know, that connectivity between food and how we feel and some of these food-related diseases. A lot of people don't realize a lot of the chronic diseases that we think is in our DNA is not. It's in our dinner.
You think about cancer.
Yes.
And there's things that we eat every single day at the corner bodega that are like level one carcinogens.
Is that something?
Yeah.
You know, that's just interesting that I learned. You know how you come home and your mom is frying that chicken and, you know, you're happy to, you know, to have that smell? That smoke is a carcinogen also.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, honestly, that's what made me get into juicing was because I had health issues also. And sometimes you can't look at a person and tell that they're unhealthy.
Right.
People will think, oh, they're overweight, they're unhealthy. That may not be the case. And you can also be skinny.
That's right.
And be
that's
unhealthy. Right. And I had unusually high cholesterol. I was told I would have to be on medication for the rest of my life if I didn't take care of it now. And so I'm glad I knew that and was able to make sure that I started watching what I ate and also making sure that I work out.
Listen, when I went to that doctor's office that day, I went in because of the ulcer because I was feeling pain in my stomach. I thought it was colon cancer, and I was relieved that it was an ulcer. And the doctor said, your real problem is your type 2 diabetes. He says, Eric, you should be in a coma right now. And because I didn't take the medication, when I walked in, I had no medication. When I walked out, I had 9 different medications. I felt like I was Dwayne Reed. you know, pills, insulin, all of this stuff.
Right.
And it was just food. You know?
And, you know, a lot of people are taking these weight loss drugs now. A lot of those drugs are for diabetes, too, mm-hmm. by the way. But they do cause side effects.
Yes.
And so if you can avoid being on drugs for the rest of your life or having to do that, you should.
Yes,
and sometimes, you know, if it's possible. Obviously, some people do need to, you know, go that route, and no knock to them for that. But if there's things that you could do as far as your diet, it's important.
And, you know, it's so important what you say, because medicine, for the most part, is to stabilize the chronic issue that you have. Then lifestyle should maintain it. People think medicine is supposed to be forever. Mm-hmm. And there may be some cases where you have to take medicine forever.
Right.
But if you're dealing with, you know, cholesterol, diabetes, those other issues, you need to stabilize it. Because my A1C was up in the teens, and it had to be stabilized. I was on metformin for a week. But now the question is, now that you stabilize it, what are you doing to maintain it? Mm-hmm. And people would rather have the pill instead of doing those little moderate things, standing desk in the office. I have a treadmill near my computer, exercising, getting off the train and early stop and walk a couple of blocks, you know, get your steps in. There are things you could do every day that you don't have to have a gym membership.
Right.
You know, you just have to be conscious about
it. And it's also good mentally.
Oh, it is.
To do those things. Like go outside, go for a walk. There's a lot of times, and listen, during the pandemic, and, you know, kudos to you for not leaving Brooklyn during the pandemic, because we did see each other on several different marches.
That's right.
But even for me, being able to walk around and see things that I'd never seen, look at all the new businesses in the neighborhood, support those small businesses, because that's a big deal for small businesses to thrive, and we have so many of them, you know, in Brooklyn and in New York City,
because
now you represent all of New York City, so we can't forget that, but, you know.
And mental health is real.
Yeah.
And you know, like we're doing in our schools, we're teaching children breathing exercises. Like, I'm into this Wim Hof breathing and cold baths, but we got to really deal with this mental health stuff. You know, suicidal ideations are up. Our children are feeling more depressed. Social media is really driving these young people into dark places. And doing things like taking that walk, put that phone down, and having really human interactions and just finding your space, breathing, meditation, you know, yoga. We got to do self-care.
You know, you're becoming mayor, what do you do now? I mean, besides these walks, because there's so many things. And look, I have a laundry list of people were coming in here like, make sure you ask the mayor about this. But what do you do for yourself? Because it is, I mean, New York City, especially right now, it's always something happening here.
Right.
But right now, there is so much, you know, that's going on. And I feel like.
And it's real. And it's real, you know. And every day there is something. Mm-hmm. Like yesterday, you know, it's painful for me to hear this allegation that was made against me. Someone made an allegation of something that happened 33 years ago. I don't even know who the person is.
Right.
And it's not me. It never happened.
They're framing it like it's a colleague, a former colleague. But I did see a lot of people come to your defense.
Right. Because people know me. People know. I have dedicated my life to uplifting women in general, but black women specifically. You look at my administration. First time in history, 5 deputy mayors of color. First woman police commissioner.
Yes.
You know, everyone knows how close I was to my mom before she transitioned. And there's not one relationship I've had in my life that I'm not still best friends with the person.
Right.
Not one.
Right.
They will all tell you, you know, that Eric comes from a very kind, respectable place. And, you know, I'm 64 years old, you know, and I've been doing this for a long time. I've been very public for almost 40 years. And so, you know, it's painful. But, you know, God doesn't put anything on your plate that you cannot carry. And he said that no weapon formed against you will prosper. He did not say there won't be weapons formed against you.
This is the first time there's been an allegation like this. So this is the same woman when the Adult Survivors Act said she accused you, and then now she's giving specifics.
Exactly. Okay. It came out the day that the Survivors Act was going to expire. This allegation came out, and now she's giving specifics. And so now the Corporation Council has it. I have to stay focused on running the city. As you said, every day there's another crisis that we're dealing with, and I need to be really focused, zero focus on addressing all of these issues. And, you know, it comes from my biblical roots. If you read the Bible, it's challenging for you to look in the book and not find some form of crisis that was going on. Mm-hmm. Jesus was homeless. You know, let's not forget that. And so when I'm talking about fighting homelessness, it's coming from my biblical root. The violence, I come from my biblical root. I grew up in the church, and I view my prism of is, you know, my religious philosophy. I'm not only a good worshiper, I'm a good practitioner.
Right.
I got to practice what I learned inside my Christian background.
You know, one thing I will say about Mayor Eric Adams is you're not rehearsed. And sometimes you say the things that is like, oh, I can't believe he just said that. But I think that is part of what happens sometimes when you don't have everything scripted out. And, you know, you tend to go off and say things and people are like, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that. But yeah. I don't see how you can't do that in politics.
Got to be authentic, you know, and, you know, people know I'm not going to be in a box. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to bring your authentic self. I don't fit the mold of a mayor. I'm bald-headed. I wear an earring. You know, I'm comfortable in Brownsville.
I've never noticed the earring before. Okay.
I'm comfortable in Brownsville. I'm mm-hmm. Park Place and Park Avenue. And when you look at my record, I know people did not think we were going to do what we have done.
Right.
I only been mayor for 2 years and 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Decreasing crime, decreasing in shootings, homicides, more private sector jobs in the history of the city right now. 300,000 under my administration. They have something called bond raters. They look at a city and state, is the city being managed correctly so they could determine what our bond rating is. They raised the bond rating based on my management of the city during the crisis. 180,000 migrants and asylum seekers.
Yes.
You know.
I definitely want to discuss that now because I saw just recently you had a lawsuit against this bus company.
Yes.
A charter bus company from Texas
mm-hmm.
that was bringing in asylum seekers.
Mm-hmm.
And it is an unmanageable amount.
It is.
And I just want to be clear because I also do walk past some of these shelters. And sometimes my heart does go out when I see kids outside. They don't have coats on.
Right.
It's a lot of these asylum seekers are families with small children. Right. And we're seeing things where people are upset.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of. A degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
What's up? It's Angela Yee. And if you know me, you know I have several businesses. Well, one of them had closed down for a little while, but we just reopened it. And that is my juice bar. It's called NourishBot BK. And as soon as we reopened, we were really on the clock to find people who can make juices, sandwiches, acai bowls. When you want the best, you have to act quickly or someone else will get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/wayup. Maybe you see the perfect candidate. Well, ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. You can invite your top choices to apply, and you can even encourage them to apply sooner. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/wayup. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/wayup. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. One of the most important things is having our voices represent us. And that's why Black representation in media means so much to me and also to the Black community. When things happen with current events and entertainment, and politics, it is so important that we are speaking for ourselves and not have other people place a narrative on us and who we are, and to tell those stories from our point of view. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. They're like, well, how come I can't get housing, but they're providing housing for people who are not even from this country? Right. People get upset because they see food vouchers being given out to people who aren't from this country, and they're able to eat while some people are out unhoused and starving.
Right.
So I just want to address what is really happening with this, because it is a crisis, and yes, people are putting the two different issues together, because it is like we see schools where this school has to close because now it's turned into a shelter for the day. And then that turns into a huge news story, which I think is the whole point of it, right? They're trying to say with these sanctuary cities, this is what y'all wanted.
Right. Here it is.
For you now, handle it.
And it's so important. First, we should break down how do we get here? Because I meet people all the time. They walk away from me yelling and screaming, and then they walk away. Oh,
like
I didn't
50
know.
Cent. 50 right. Cent was very upset about those vouchers.
Right, okay. Exactly. Until we had a conversation, you know, and I told them, I said, listen, let's understand this, because there's sensationalism that's in our media. If it bleeds, it leads. So there's a lot of sensationalism. So people say, well, Eric, why don't you stop the buses? I can't. It's against the law for me to stop the buses. They say, why don't you deport the people after they commit crime? It's against the law for me to deport anyone based on city council law that was passed under the previous administration. Why don't you don't give them housing? It's against the law. I have to give them housing, food, and shelter. That's what the law requires me to do. Well, why don't you let them work on their own? It's against the law. I'm not allowed to allow them work. I can't even allow them to volunteer to clean up our streets if they want to and give them a stipend. It's against the law. So the national law is telling me what I must do, but they're not giving them any money.
Okay.
Of course, it's $4 billion. It took them, you know, almost a year to give us $100 million out of the $4 billion. So we have all of these natural laws. We have our borders are open. People are coming in, making their way to New York. And the support we're supposed to get, they're not giving it.
Getting bused to New York, not just making their
way
to
New York.
Right,
exactly. Getting bused to New York.
Purposefully.
And so the cat, you know, on Mother Gaston Boulevard is saying, you know, Eric, you know, what are you doing? You know, because we're not reading the whole through the lines of why we're here. And so even when the cards came out, I told the team, we have to bring down the cost of, you know, the migrants and asylum seeker crisis. And we have done that. Out of the 180,000 that we received, over 100,000 are now going self-sustained. Mm-hmm. They are now leaving our shelter system. We're no longer paying for it. But we also saw how much money we were feeding people and how much food was being wasted, about 10% of it. So what we were able to do is say, instead of having them waste food that we're having a large conglomerate give them, let's give them food cards that they can only buy food.
Right.
Go to shop in a bodega, a local supermarket, can recycle the money in our community, you know, right in our community. Mm-hmm. And the Mocha card is MWBE.
Okay.
We were saving $7 million, $600,000 a month. $600,000 a month, over $7 million a year we're saving because we went to these cards instead of using this large dollar amount that we were spending. It was a smart way to do it.
Right. People people were buying the things that they wanted and were going to eat and use rather than being given things that were going to end up getting thrown
exactly.
away.
Exactly. Food waste, not shopping locally, not putting money back in our community. So they sensationalized it. They were only getting, for the day, $13 a day to buy their breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. $13 a day. We brought down the cost of doing it. It was. This is why the bond raters are saying this guy is managing the city, making smart decisions and tough decisions in the process.
And then I just feel like every day we see a different news story. Like today I was seeing that half of New Yorkers plan to flee the city within the next 4 years.
Think about that. Think about that.
You know, they said...
We have 8.1 million New Yorkers. You think 4 million New Yorkers are leaving the city?
Oh, man. I have to say, though, it's a great headline. But I do want to say that people do complain right now about the cost of living.
Yes.
It's really, really... It is so expensive to be here. I mean, there's people in this room who are like, I'm about to move to Jersey because I can't pay my rent here. The rent is really high. There's not a lot of availability. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a lot that you're doing with affordable housing, and I want to make sure that we talk about what the plan is, because for every problem, there's solutions that are being
Without
developed.
A doubt. And that's why it's so important. Your show is so important because you reach an audience that historically won't pick up. You know, they're not sitting down watching CNN.
Right.
They're not combing through the New York Times. And much of what we get on information has come from social media. We look at a quick tweet. We look at a quick TikTok or IG. And so when people hear you do these long-form communication, it's entertaining. But then it's down to the real level. And so when you hear stories, 4 million people, 50% of New York is leaving, that just doesn't make sense. 4 million people are not leaving the city. But then you have to ask yourself, why is it so unaffordable? We have a 1% vacancy, 1.5% vacancy rate in the city, meaning these are all the apartments we have vacant. Folks are refusing to put in place the plans so we can build more. We have to build more.
And there's a lot of commercial real estate that isn't being used right now,
right.
too. And
I know they'll be rezoning. Housing. Mm-hmm. We're going to convert it to housing. So folks are running around marching on Monday, rah-rah, let's build housing, more housing for the people. And then on Tuesday, we say, okay, we're going to build it here. No, you can't build it on my block.
That's what they say, not on my block, right. Not in my backyard.
That's right. So we want Albany to pass building incentives. We wanted them to do it last year. They didn't. Mm-hmm. We're hoping they do it this year. And we want the city council. Our housing policies have been racist. There are certain communities where you build no affordable housing.
Yes.
Hats off to Julie Menon, who's a city council person. She just did mandatory inclusion, meaning affordable housing in her district in the Upper East Side. They had no affordable housing built in that area.
Oh, wow. That's wild. Because I feel like, and especially with developments now, they make sure, right, a portion
exactly.
of that has to be affordable housing.
But if you were to do an analysis of the city, you'll see that there are many communities that have never built affordable housing, don't want affordable housing in the area. They want their own parks, their own hospitals, their own access to healthy food, their own transportation system. People that are medical rich, access to healthy food rich, access to transportation rich, access to public space rich, access to good schools rich. We need to be building housing in their community just as we've been building in other communities.
Right. I feel like that is what New York is a mecca of. From block to block, from even in the middle of the block, things change.
That's right.
You know, you could be in New York City Housing Authority housing, but then have a $3 million brownstone in the middle of the block.
That's right.
It is what it is.
That's right. You know, especially in Brooklyn.
Yeah, especially in Brooklyn.
You know, you look at Brooklyn, like my house on Lafayette Avenue, we're blocks away from Marcy houses. We're a block away from other housing, NYCHA housing, which we're really leaning into. You know, our
administration, a lot of great people have come from NYCHA.
Without a doubt. My attorney of many years came from Gowanus, a brilliant attorney. And what we did back during COVID, when I was going into NYCHA to give our mask, you know, people were attacking me, why are you giving masks to those people? But we were knocking on doors, going up and down the stairs. And I noticed when people were opening their doors, getting the mask, I said, how are things going with your children? You know, because they're doing remote learning. Mm-hmm. They said, we don't have access to high-speed broadband.
Right.
So a lot of our children couldn't sign on. And I committed to them. I told them, when I get elected, we're going to get you high-speed broadband. Last year, we were able to get high-speed broadband for every NYCHA residents for free.
That's amazing.
For free.
Yes, that is absolutely incredible. Right. And right. Another thing I saw that's been happening is people going door to door to help tenants with their housing.
Yes.
People who are living places now. I just recently saw that. Because, you know, I pay attention to everything that's going on because yeah. I am a real New Yorker. I still live in Brooklyn right by you. But yeah, that is something that's happening now, too. Yeah.
Our public engagement unit, we're getting out there because you got to meet people where they are. And take them where they ought to be. You can't meet people where you are. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can't sit back and say, well, why aren't you coming in for these services? No, we need to go out there and find people. Because government, navigating government is intimidating.
Yeah.
You know, my mother used to hate going to access any benefits. She would go without, you know, because she said she felt so dehumanized when she would come inside mm-hmm. a governmental agency. We have to become more user-friendly. And become more willing to meet people on the ground where they are.
It's so hard, too, when people come to your door because you don't know who's... There's
right,
so many
right.
scammers out here,
it
too.
Is.
We got to make sure that we're also aware of that. Like, who
right.
is this person?
Right.
We need to see some credentials. And another thing that I saw as we're talking about protecting tenants, also homeowners. I was just reading in the news about a woman in Queens. Was it in Queens? Okay, but anyway, her house, somebody was squatting in her house. She changed the locks, and then she ended up getting arrested.
Yeah.
And for that, it is really hard to get people out mm-hmm. who are, you know, who have a job, who can pay the bills, but elect not to because they just, you know, I've had that issue before, too.
Yes, yes.
And that's not an easy process.
No, it's not. No, it's not. And, you know, oftentimes when we think of housing, we always have this image of someone that owns 1,000 units.
Mm-hmm.
We don't realize that small mom and pop, you know, 10-unit house, 3-unit house, like my brownstone, my building in Brooklyn, I have two tenants.
Mm-hmm.
And if one tenant decides they're not paying rent, that's hitting us all.
Right.
We have to be more understanding of small property owners, and we need to give them the support that they need because that's where our wealth is. All of our wealth is tied up, for the most part, in our homes. And if we lose our homes because you have a tenant that's not paying rent, then a developer is going to come in mm-hmm. and change the landscape. Black and brown people, their wealth is in their home. And we have to do everything possible to protect it.
Yeah, it's hard because the courts are backed up. And then right. you have to give somebody 90 days before you can even try to do. Then you're paying for a lawyer. It's a process.
It is. It is. And sometimes it could take 1 or 2 years.
I know people who are like, I don't even want to be a homeowner because
right.
I don't want to have to be a landlord, you
I'm
know, in case things
you.
Like that happen. But, mm-hmm. you know, it is something I encourage. But it's also like, I get it because it can
right.
be really, really tough at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about the subway. You know, my mom works for Transit and has been ever since I was in elementary school. And so she still works for New York City Transit Authority. But we've seen virally things that have been happening on the subway. We saw a man get shot with his own gun
right,
and
right.
harassing someone on the train.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that being videotaped from the very beginning. And I also feel like it's fortunate that we were able to see that video because who knows what would have happened
right.
if there wasn't something documented.
Right, right.
And so some people, and this is another report I read, some people mm-hmm. are feeling like the train is not safe.
Right.
And they're
right.
nervous to take the train. We do have congestion pricing on the way
mm-hmm.
really soon. So we are going to need people to take the subway. And on the flip side, I had a conversation with the MTA about people who are not paying their fare
right, right.
as well, and how it's costing $600 million a year. And people who aren't paying their fare are all different types of people.
Without a doubt.
I mean,
without
there's
a
people
doubt.
Who are going
right.
to Starbucks, getting their coffee, you know, Gucci bag, but
right.
still not paying the train because
no,
they
well
see
said.
Nobody
well
else
said.
Is
well
paying
said.
For the train.
That's so important. So let's break down those three pieces because
mm-hmm.
you talk about three pieces.
Yeah, I'm trying to get it all out of you
no,
right
no,
now.
No, so let's break down those three pieces. First, let's deal with safety on the subway. Think about it for a moment. You have a high-profile incident, and you read about it on the paper.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When you walk into the subway system and you see someone that's dealing with a mental health issue, they're yelling and screaming on the system, it starts to play on your psyche. Mm-hmm. You start to believe, although nothing has happened to you, you may have taken thousands of trips and everything is fine, but your psyche is now, you don't feel safe. Do you know we have about 4.1 million daily riders? 1.4 million. Out of that 1.4 million, we have about 6 felonies a day. Out of that 4.1 million.
Okay.
But if you are hearing about somebody being shot on the train, mm-hmm. all of those numbers mean nothing to you.
Right.
It's like,
we
what
saw
do
that.
You feel?
Yeah.
And my job is to say, yes, I want to show you statistically that you, as a rider, you may take thousands of trips and nothing happened to you. I must bring down that 6 felonies a day, but also must make you feel safe. And that's why we put 1,000 more officers in the system. We tell them to walk around, engage with the passengers, announce on the train, intercom, broadcast system. Hey, there's a police officer on the platform if you need him. We must make people feel safe. Feel safe.
Yeah, I think it's a problem too that there's a lot less people working in the train, you know, in the system. Even as far as like in the toll booth, you used to always see somebody.
Right.
And there did used to be, you know, officers down there. And then even I saw Governor Kathy Hochul, she employed the National Guard.
Right.
So how long is that lasting and sustainable?
We don't need National Guards at every train station. It's important to deploy them places like Penn Station, Grand Central Station, maybe even Times Square. But you don't need the National Guard on Utica Avenue. Mm-hmm. You don't need them on Franklin Avenue because it doesn't fit into the decorum of a community. It's good to be in places where there are a large number of people, but the police must do the job, and that's what we're making sure police are doing. I want to switch to congestion pricing.
Okay.
Has to be done right. You know, and I've said this over and over again. Many people don't realize that the MTA, the state, put in place the congestion pricing plan. New York City, we don't have the authorization, mm-hmm. which I think is wrong. These are our streets. This should have been turned over to the city council and the mayor and say, how do you want to roll this out? We don't have that authorization. You know, I have 2 members on the MTA board, but this is something that's controlled by the state mm-hmm. and the MTA, and which I think was a big mistake. We got to make sure the cost is right. We got to make sure we don't displace the environmental issues into Staten Island, into Brooklyn,
right.
and into the Bronx and other areas. We have to make sure that we look at those folks who have to use this system have to drive in for a reason.
Yeah, that's $15 a day.
It's a nice hit.
And then you got to pay to park. to come into this area. It's not cheap for that either. And then imagine you're paying a toll on the Triborough Bridge or coming in from Jersey, you have to pay a toll. Mm-hmm. And then in addition, I'm also thinking about the neighborhoods on the outskirts of where congestion pricing takes place below 60th Street and, you know, above downtown. That's going to affect those neighborhoods too.
Without a doubt. And that's why we're saying we have to do it right. Make sure it doesn't have some unintended impacts that we don't realize. What are those three drops you had? I could put some in my water. What is that?
Oh, you don't even know what this is.
But I know you got something good.
This is for detox. Well, it's brand new. This is for your bone, your brain, and immune system. I don't think you need period relief.
Yeah, maybe. there's sometimes I feel like I'm going through my cycle.
Shout out to Coach Jesse for the detox now. You know I detox.
What is this here?
Let me see which one that is. That's for your cysts, tumors, inflammation, immune support.
Okay.
Yeah, so these
How
are all
drops
things.
Do you do?
Half a vial of that.
And you can bone, do that. Brain, and immune? Yeah. Who's detoxing that?
Coach Jesse. Yeah, sure. You can open it. It's fine. I have this at home, too. So I just always make sure that every day.
So, you know, I just want to make sure I boost my immune system.
Yeah, see, like.
That's a big bow.
Yeah, 2-week fast, you know what I mean? Of nothing but water and coconut water.
Love it.
And
these, for 2 weeks?
Yeah, for 2 weeks.
That's
and
a
these
serious
drops.
Detox.
It's a serious detox, but it definitely will help you.
And this
goes great with the Ghostbusters movie. This
when I do my fast, I do colonics. When I do my fast also.
I haven't done a colonic yet, but I'm a little, that scares me. But I will definitely try it now that you said you've done it. All right, and now back to the fare evasions.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because that is something they're trying to figure out. How do you get people to pay their fare? I think people got used to not paying the fare because during the pandemic, they didn't have to. People are going on the bus, walking past the bus driver, and what bus driver is going to fight and argue with somebody about paying their fare?
And they shouldn't.
Yeah.
What happened is that we normalized not paying out fare.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the DAs stated they're not going to prosecute fare evasions. We sent out the wrong message. We need to be very clear. If Johnny or baby kids jump over the turnstile and don't pay their fare, it's going to come out of the passenger.
Mm-hmm.
If we're losing millions of dollars, then those passengers who are paying, that's where the increases are going to come.
Right.
So we're zeroing in back in to making people pay their fare, sending the right message, the police presence. We're no longer ignoring that. That's very important for us.
You hear that, Dan? No, I'm playing. He's like, I pay my fare. No, I mean, it is going to be something difficult because it used to be like embarrassing to, you know, get stopped for not paying your fare.
Right, right.
And now another thing I want to talk about, and this is huge for us, and I feel like we're not talking about this enough.
Mm-hmm.
The World Cup soccer final.
Yes.
Can you tell me about how you managed to get that to New York and New Jersey? That is a humongous deal.
I had a great partner in New Jersey, Governor Murphy, who owns a soccer team.
Okay.
We were competing with Dallas, just knew they were going to win. They probably made up T-shirts. You know, the finals are going to be here. You know, but we were successful. And it was not only the games. We already knew we won the games. We announced it at Liberty Field when we won the games. But to win the final.
I mean.
Unbelievable.
That's going to bring so much money.
Yes, it is.
And so many jobs into the city.
Jobs, money, tourism, restaurants, the fan experience. I was in Qatar for the World Cup a few years back, and the fan experience is huge. You know, you get 1 million people into your region and split between New York and New Jersey. This is very big.
How did you get that?
It was a combination.
How does that work?
Well, they looked at a number of things. They were very big on fan experience. We sat down with the heads of FIFA. They were huge on fan experience because some people come here, they don't go to the game. So what are you doing with your spouse and your family?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when they looked at what's here, we have so much entertainment that's going on here. And that was attractive to them. They looked at with the media market. You know, there's not every city that has an Angie Lee.
That's right.
We looked at public safety. They were big on public safety. They looked and did an analysis, and they said, you're the safest big city in America. You have the great police force. transportation, hotel accommodation. So there were a few items that they looked at to say, do you check all the boxes? And we did, and we just did a great proposal.
Can't get an Airbnb here, though, anymore. Now, I want to ask you about that, because the Airbnb restrictions are really tough now. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we do have a housing issue.
Right.
So those two things do go hand in hand.
Well said. And you can't take housing off the market. And so if you just have Airbnb, then those who are trying to find housing is really challenging. And so what they did, they put restrictions in the Airbnb. They didn't make it illegal. They just put restrictions in place so we don't decimate or further decimate our housing market.
All right. Now, I was telling you people were coming in here, like, make sure you ask the mayor about this. So education.
Give me there should be a make sure you ask
sure
the mayor about
it.
This.
Make sure you ask the mayor about this. All right. So, and I'll tell you, shout out to Nick, who works up here. He said, my girlfriend's a teacher.
Uh-huh.
And so you got to ask about these budget cuts when it comes to education.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And of course, preschool education. A lot of people are trying to get seats for their kids in preschool. But cuts in that in general, because I feel like that's always the worst place
to
make cuts.
Let's put it into places, because some of this stuff is mere sound bites of what people hear.
Okay.
We have, when the previous administration, they created these programs, pre-K, 3K, Summarize, and a lot of programs.
Mm-hmm.
They took the temporary dollars of COVID and made permanent programs.
Mm-hmm.
Those temporary dollars are sunsetting this year.
Okay.
So now you have, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars that are needed for programs that they didn't even factor out that, hey, the money's going to run out. Big mistake.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to save some horizon and find the money to do so. And if we didn't have to pay $12 billion on this migrant and asylum seekers, we'd be able to find it to pay for some of the other programs.
Right.
But we only have a limited budget. And we have to find ways of funding. There's other programs that we're looking at to try to find ways to fund it. So our goal, my budget, was not to cut these programs. We knew that the money was sunsetting, but we said, you know what, we're going to find money to do it. Then all of a sudden we got hit with this asylum seeker. We spent $4 billion
Yeah, that's already. What I told them too. I said, I think that there's been budget cuts because of the asylum seekers.
Real money.
I just want to also point out, it's not illegal to seek asylum. So people will act like it's illegal immigrants here.
Right,
but people are here trying to seek asylum, which they are allowed legally to
do. So important what you just raised. Because people are mixing up. If you are a migrant or asylum seeker, you were paroled into the country. You're here legally.
Right.
It's another thing if you're undocumented. That's where the sanctuary city law comes in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're undocumented, we're not going to turn you over to ICE.
Okay.
That's what, people talk about sanctuary city. Migrants and asylum seekers are not part of the sanctuary city.
Okay. They're just on the path to getting
citizenship. And they have to, their asylum seeker application have to be reviewed to see if you are able to stay here on an asylum, some type of persecution you're experiencing back home. And so people sometimes conflate the two, that sanctuary city is the migrants and asylum seekers.
Mm-hmm.
No, sanctuary city is here if you're here illegally. Migrants and asylum seekers were paroled into the country.
Okay, good. I just want to make that distinction.
Yes.
And look, as we're wrapping up, I feel like you got to come here more often because I have a million questions and I pay attention to everything that's been going on.
Yes.
So you're already getting ready for re-election.
Yes.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. I just want to put that out there.
Right.
And I see some people also throwing their hat in the ring. Is it going to be ranked choice voting?
Yes.
It is.
Remember how many people were in the last race?
Yes. It was a lot.
Right.
And it was all over the place.
At first
it was like, this person's winning and this person was, yeah.
We were focused. Andrew Yang was measuring the curtains at City Hall. He thought he was going to win so much. And I was like, okay. You know that? Look, you know, Angela, I'm big on what God means for you, no man can take away.
Mm-hmm.
What God does not mean for you, no man can give. I'm just supposed to do my job. I'm not even focused on, re-election is coming. No, Eric, what are you going to do right now?
Right. Well, you know, what you do right now does matter, though, for a re-election and how things are framed. And you see Donald Trump talking about a bloodbath if he doesn't get, and one conversation that people have been having is black men in voting them, kind of leaning away from the Democratic Party.
Right.
And so what do you think about getting people energized to even vote, not just locally, but also to get out and vote?
We have to vote. There's a real initiative, a brother that's the, his name escapes me. They want to do this whole Black Men Who Vote initiative. And the Democratic Party has a real obligation and responsibility to show why Black men should vote. Like, the highest unemployment in the city right now is dealing with Black people in general, but Black men specifically. We have to answer the needs of Black men because many of them feel as though their needs are not being heard and they're not being met. And we do everything from the Black Men Brunch to I had a meeting this afternoon with a group of Black men to talk about what do we do around MWBEs and really focusing on the attention of Black men. Because, you know, that's a, you know, all of us have unique items that we need addressed. And I think that for far too long, we've ignored the items that have been on the Black men list that are important to them.
All right. Well, I just want to make sure we keep on. And that's why I wanted to come straight to you with a lot of these questions we have. And, you know, we need more frequent check-ins, though.
Yes, I would love that. I'm going to make sure the team, Noah. Noah is my guy, you know. You can't forget him since he built the Ark many years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, Noah is our guy, and we're going to make sure we come on as much as possible.
Yeah, because it's important what is getting accomplished, too. Sometimes people overlook those things. I know also recently 80,000 human services workers got a cost of living adjustment as well.
Huge.
That's a big deal because that affects women, that affects people of color. Mm-hmm. So just real quick, if you could.
Yes, overwhelming the human services, when you think about a child care workers, deliver food to people, social services, overwhelmingly women. Mm-hmm. Almost 50% are women of color. We were able to raise their increases so that they can have a meaningful life. And, you know, you can't provide services and then you're going to need those same services because you're not getting paid enough. This is a huge victory. I promised it on the campaign trail. Mm-hmm. They sat down with me and I told them, when I become mayor, we're going to address this. And they mentioned it at the rally. They said he promised us, he delivered on it. Mm-hmm. My mom was a human service worker. She was a food service worker at Amstead Daycare Center. We knew what the children ate every day because she would bring Tupperware bowls and aluminum foil and wrapped up the leftovers. Huh. So that was a personal story for me and the speaker as we talked about this great success.
All right. Well, great. Well, I love to hear it. And, you know, let's see if this year for Halloween we have party promoter Eric Adams costumes in the stores. I will say nightlife is important, though, in New York.
It is.
As critical as people can be, I like the fact that we can see our mayor, you know, out at the places that we go to, because those are also, a lot of them are small businesses.
Without a doubt.
And it means a lot to go to a business and for the owner to be like, the mayor was just here.
Multi-billion dollar industry. It has been ignored under all of the administrations. I walk into a nightlife establishment. I go into the kitchen. I speak with the cooks. I speak with the waiters. I speak with all those employees and tell them how much I appreciate them. Mm-hmm. This is not a 9-to-5 city. This is a city that never sleeps, so the mayor can't be taking a nap. I'm out there speaking to my nurses that work during midnight shifts, my TA employees, people who work around the clock. The city never stops. Mm-hmm. And I'm out there meeting them, greeting them, and they should know their mayor, not just who work corporate hours.
All right. Well, next time you see him, shots on the mayor, everybody. Okay? But thank you so much, Mayor Eric Adams. I always really appreciate you,
appreciate
and I know
you.
You'll be back.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, it's Angela Yee from Way Up with Angela Yee. Imagine swapping your car keys for a chance to move your body, better mental health, connecting with your community, and creating memories without spending money. Join me and embrace nature's pace by taking a walk, hike, or a bike ride with Rails to Trails Conservancy, because our time on the trail is so much more than a day outside. Get ideas for getting outside at railstotrails.org/iHeart and on social media at Rails to Trails.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.